Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN Weekly for Saturday, March 16th, 2024. And our top story today, mixed messages. Is inflation cooling or not? And joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Jane King is joining us from the NASDAQ. Jane, it is always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Great to be back, Jeffrey. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Green on. So.
Oh, that's good. I am not. I'm wearing blue. I don't know. I love St. Patty's Day. I'm not a drinker, but I love the, you know, the whole spirit behind it.
Fun.
So, yeah. Again, I missed the boat. But and the audience and Jane, I've told you this. You know, we're Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays blue. Pink is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and that's and then I'm wearing a pair of jeans. Okay, Jane. And I want to take a step back because you and I were talking offline. People should know Jane King, but if they don't, you actually do news reports for a lot of the local networks, local TV networks around the country. Talk real quick about that.
That's right. So yeah, I do a syndicated report on morning shows live and recorded in about 90 television markets, you know, all the way from Florida and the Carolinas to San Francisco and San Diego. So we go across the country and talk about the news of the day as well as local business news.
Yeah. And so that's why this is for us at BRN. This is great to have Jane take all that knowledge. I mean, you're amazing. And we love kind of having your perspective and bringing on other people as well, as we have done in the past several weeks. All right, Jane. Woo! St. Patty's Day. Let's talk about mixed messages, because I feel like during the week, we got a lot of mixed messages when it came to inflation and some of the other economic data. I want to get you to weigh in here.
Well, we had a couple of inflation reports out today, and even an earnings report from Family Dollar that talked about inflation. CPI, PPI, both hotter than expected. Family Dollar's profits were hurt. They said one reason, because customers are pulling back because of inflation. But the markets, for the most part, shrugged this off. Now, we did see Thursday when PPI came out, the markets initially were higher, but then turned lower on the day. Things kind of had a turnaround. So, you know, the thinking is the Federal Reserve, you know, they meet next week, probably no rate cut coming, nothing in May, maybe June. Although with these inflation reports, even that looks like it may be faltering. So we'll see.
And again, all this, all of our talk, and you're a lot, we're a lot deeper this on your network and on ours. A lot of the talk always centers around what the central bank is going to do. And I just find, you know, everything that the market reacts, how the market reacts, is that traditional? I mean, is that, you know, should we just maybe just focus our attention every week on what the Fed's going to do?
Well, I feel like the market has moved on from what's the Fed going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't seem to care anymore. Inflation report comes in hot. A year ago, that would have sold the markets off. Now we're like, you know, maybe we've moved on. Maybe NVIDIA is taking it over. Maybe they've just thought, you know, okay, we know we're going to get a rate cut at some point in June. Who cares? You know, I just don't think the market is really focusing on this right now. They seem to be focusing more on AI and the promise of AI and all the productivity and the money that is going to be spent on AI. So that's, but you know, the market, it's fickle. We'll focus on something new in a few weeks.
Yeah, it is. It is very fickle. Jane, you mentioned AI. Microsoft had a good week, I think, you know, and a lot of that predicated on its efforts in AI. And I think they do support in some capacity, either invest or support OpenAI, which is behind ChatGPT. Sam Altman, when he had his big blow up with the board, I think he got fired and he went over to Microsoft. So Microsoft's had a pretty good week.
They have. And yeah, they invested $10 billion in OpenAI. So they were very quick to do that because I think they recognized that this is truly revolutionary. And there may be some other interested parties in there. So Microsoft very active in this. NVIDIA has a developer conference in the week ahead. So that is something to watch out for. We've just got sky high expectations out of this. Maybe they'll meet them. They continue to do so, at least have been so far. So we'll see what NVIDIA reveals from that. But AI just continues to be kind of the theme and the story on Wall Street right now.
Yeah, it certainly is the flavor of the month, week, day, year. And will, sounds like it will continue. Jane, I want to ask you about, you know, there's a lot of conflict going on in the Middle East and parts of between Russia and Ukraine. I want to ask you about the supply chain. I have been reading, and you talk about prices that consumers are facing. Some of that is predicated on supply. You got to be able to get supply from wherever it's going and get it around. Usually goes through the, I guess, the Red Sea, and the, instead of going around the Horn of Africa, there's some definitely some supply chain constraints, possibly leading to the inflation that we've been talking about.
Well, that's right. I mean, a lot of those Asian products go through the Red Sea, go to Europe, but also to the US as well. So, oil is another one, and the Houthi rebels in Yemen have been creating all kinds of havoc there to try to put that. The Panama Canal has some issues too, and that has been hurting US agriculture trade to Asia. So, wheat exports are down, soybean exports are down to China, and the reason they believe is because the Panama Canal is just harder for them to buy those, so they're buying from Brazil instead. So it's like a big global chess game and trying to make sure all the pieces work, and they don't always work together, and so that's causing some problems that everybody deals with.
Yeah, imagine that, the global chess game. People don't, of different countries, cultures don't always get along. That's not unsurprising.
History.
It's not unsurprising. It's disappointing, but unsurprising. Jane, last question. You mentioned oil. Let's talk a little bit about gas prices. Consumers, I think the price of gas certainly ticked up. So the pressure continues to be on the consumer, mom and pop, myself, you, my wife. Everybody, we are trying to make ends meet. Our gas prices find their way into everything, including food prices, restaurant prices, and schlepping the kids to soccer practice.
I mean, it gets passed down, it's in the raw materials, and it showed up in the PPI this week, energy. So, 4 month high for gas prices we hit this week. We typically see as it starts to get warmer, they convert to that seasonal summer blend, which is just more expensive. More people are driving as it gets warmer. And the trend is gas prices will continue to rise through Labor or through Memorial Day. So, we
Wow.
may be seeing some increasing prices in the next couple of months.
Yeah, and that's certainly not a good sign, especially spring break. I mean, you need fuel to get around unless you're going to walk to your vacation destination.
I'm not
Jane?
walking to Florida.
No, well, I mean, you would spend all your time walking there during the break.
Right.
I mean, you get a lot of exercise and probably burn a lot of calories, but is that
Where
really a
there's
vacation?
shoes,
Who
yeah.
knows? Jane, always great to see you. Thanks so much
Thanks,
for
Jeffrey.
joining us, and we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Great to be here.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks for your great analysis. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And when we come back, we'll take a look at some of our best segments for the week. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN Weekly. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Welcome back. It was a great week of great topics and, of course, great guests. We kicked off the week with a look at auto enrollment and auto escalation in public sector, state and local defined contribution plans. Let's take a look.
Well, Jeff, it's actually quite simple. Auto enrollment is about getting participants into the plan without them having to do a thing, making it as easy as it possibly can be. And what that does, it gets participants in the habit of saving, and it helps them build that saving over a lifetime to a secure retirement. So when an individual gets employed by a city or a county, they are automatically in the plan unless they decide to opt out. And they always have the chance to get out. Same thing with auto escalation. You start small and you build up. So you start in a career with a lot of responsibilities and the kind of income you get at the beginning of a career. And as that income grows, your contributions automatically escalate so that at the end of the day, you are building a strong nest egg to have a secure retirement.
Actually, 2/3 of the private sectors has already started adopting auto features. However, the public sector is catching up now. Our research findings are quite fascinating. We find that there is an increase of auto enrollment and auto escalation features among many states. In fact, 17 states and the District of Columbia require or permit some sort of auto features. But so far, these features are primarily focused on auto enrollment. The auto escalation has yet to see a wide range of adoption. So fewer state and local governments has adopted auto escalation.
So there are 33. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, the full list of states, if you're interested, is in the report. Actually, the recent bipartisan Secure Act 2.0 has mandated auto enrollment in new ERISA plans. That's a good start. And to those states which are yet to adopt, I think the benefit is very obvious. So when the new employee starting enrolling to the plan, they start to be overwhelmed with all the benefit choices, all the enrollment choices, and we call that choice fatigue or choice overload. So these auto features help them to bypass the active choice process so they can be enrolled into what the plan advisors or sponsors think it's better for them, and then they don't have to do anything unless they want to opt out. I think these features will help increasing more saving rate as well as the adoption rate of DC plans. And we all know that with the rising cost of retirement, it is really hard for pure pension plan to catch up with their retirement goals. So adding the DC feature for them, not having them to actively choose that, will help these states to increase the saving rate and prepare the better retirement future for those employees.
Everybody, in order to understand in truth what you have and where you're going, you have to dig in. And the challenge is most of us don't have the time or the inclination to do that, especially early in our lives when we have so many other responsibilities. So these auto features really do it for us and give us the opportunity when we are ready to engage to be in a good place.
And we also discussed adding private real estate to target date fund allocations and how that serves as a foundation for other alternatives. Let's take a look.
Because there's a lot of other factors of real estate beyond its illiquidity that makes it a valuable diversifier to the stocks and bonds that are already in target date funds and balance funds that are part of DC plan participants' portfolios already. And some of those aspects, one is the physical nature of real estate. Most of what is in the portfolio is publicly traded, moves around a lot with the equity market. When you look at real estate, I think its valuation is more tied to reality, tied to what the value of the building actually is. You don't get as much correlation with equities, which can be really helpful to participants in terms of diversification. I think a second piece is there's an inherent yield, right? Rents. And a lot of those rents are tied to inflation. And so if you're thinking about a participant that over time, inflation, whether they're in the accumulation phase or the decumulation phase, inflation is important. And having something that fights against inflation is already tied to it can be really helpful. So those are two aspects of real estate that are really not tied to the fact that they're a liquid or an illiquidity premium, but that help offset some of the other assets that participants already have in their portfolios. Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is that they've realized the benefits. A lot of them have seen the benefits in DB plans. They've seen other investors that are broadened and diversified their portfolio, right? So you see there's a lot of experience. And even the people that have done it in DC plans, they've said, hey, this has worked out pretty well for them. And over time, they've said they've become more comfortable with it. And there's more options in the marketplace, right? It's a broadening of options that are out there. There's an ability for plan sponsors to say, hey, we can do this in a way that's thoughtful, whether it's through, I know Clint's going to talk more about some of the ways that it's implemented in DC plans. But I think there's just more options that are out there, and they've seen the benefits. And they're saying, you know what, we want to do better for our participants.
Well, I think the first thing we have to think about is how have participants benefited from this since its start? As Yanni noted, for 20 plus years, core real estate has been the foundation of these portfolios. And so those participants have really done well. And it went in particular during periods when, the market is under stress. And you might think that when markets are under stress, participants would be leaving, the markets and their target date funds as well. However, research from Alight Solutions has led to us to conclude that actually participants see their target date solution as the way to weather the storm, and in particular, target dates where core real estate has been an important foundation, to those portfolios. Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's inherent in the idea of a multi-asset strategy like a target date fund. I think it's just reinforced by the fact that the outcome for the target date funds that have core real estate tend to be more consistent in the returns that they deliver, and thus participants don't lose confidence as it relates to that. And
Yeah.
certainly, over the last, say, decade or so, we've seen really strong performance out of the public markets right until we did not. And it's those target date funds that had private real estate that really withstood, those volatile events. Again, the analysis that Yanni did. And
Yeah.
what's important is we take a bit of a step back around what the ecosystem is that's been developed. So those early adopters really had proven the concept that core real estate could be an important part of these portfolios. And so around that, the industry has developed quite a few solutions so that plans that are looking to add core real estate have a lot of options, as it relates to how to go about doing that. And you can get to those solutions through platform providers, asset managers, record keepers, even independent consultants. And so we have a lot of different ways to get there. So it says slightly differently, it's made a competitive marketplace for folks to kind of come in as it relates to what that ecosystem really looks like. Got it. So certainly we've seen the recent announcements around core real estate, large asset managers, target date fund providers coming in like Fidelity, in addition to the long-term providers in, say JP Morgan or Principal & Prudential and all the others in the market. What we're going to be doing in the next month is rotate away from sort of the core content of the portfolios to the platforms that are underpinning the 401k industry. So what are the technologies that have delivered success to 401k plans over the last 10, 20, and 30 years? And how have those innovated to be able to deliver a broader cross-section of alternative investments into DC plans? So everything from platforms to record keepers to the inclusion of blockchain and valuation platforms and things that really make access to alternatives ready for the retail market, including 401k plans.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN Weekly. Have a topic of interest? Someone you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more in all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, then visit our website. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRN Sunday. I'll be joined by the Legal Eagles, David Levine, Kevin Walsh of Groom Law Group, and then Oliver Rennick of the Schwab Network will be here to help break down markets. You're not going to want to miss this those conversations, I should say. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity
to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.